Thanks, Rod. As I shared earlier, last Sunday, this was a very full house as we celebrated together with more than 300 delegates from the Prophetic Voices of the Land conference, and as we heard stories from across this nation and nations of what God is doing. And as we reflected on that throughout this week, I just saw so much in that was reinforcing exactly what we've been talking about here over the last 12 months or so about the kingdom of God. And when we've talked about the framework of the kingdom of God, and I mentioned this again last week, and I want to build it on a little bit further today, when we think about the kingdom of God, we start with God's people. And last weekend we were talking about the fact that we are all God's people, regardless of race or ethnicity, of colour. God calls us all as one, as his children, to be his family, to be his church. We are God's people wherever God has placed us. And last week, we heard, for those of you who weren't at the conference, I want to give a sort of quick summary of a couple of the key lines from a few of the speakers. One of our speakers was Pastor Willie Dumas, who said, God has placed you in your community. In other words, there's a place that is unique for you where God has placed you. And Pastor Michael Dumas said, God has placed you here to fulfill his purpose. And so both of these men were talking about the importance of place, of where is the place that God has you at this time. And we've talked about this in the language of God has placed you in your home, your street, in your workplace or place of education, in your community group. In that place, you have a unique opportunity. There's a unique sphere of influence that you have where you can make a difference for the kingdom of God. And God wants to use his people to solve the problems in our society. You know, while the government may be able to solve some social issues, it cannot solve them all. Rather, it is the role of the church to address spiritual issues in our society. And as we live according to God's ways, as we live according to his rules, then we will see what it means to bring healing and restoration to our community. What are those rules? They're things like, what's it mean to love one another? What's it mean to love our neighbour as ourselves, to love those in need in our community? When we love these people as God calls us to love, it changes lives in significant and profound ways. And Pastor Delana from Fiji talked about the fact that we are a blessed people, that we live in God's blessings. And one of the things that he was saying is, you have received, will you release it? You have received incredible blessings, and we live in a time, an era, in a place where we are blessed. But we have to be very careful that we don't just continue to receive and receive and receive. There is a calling and a responsibility that we have to also give, to release back blessings to those around about us. And so it really built into this whole framework that we've been talking about as God's people in God's place, living according to God's ways and rule in order that we are blessed and released to be a blessing. God has called you to be his people, wherever he has placed you right now. And he's blessed you to be part of the solution to the challenges in your community, whether that be in Fiji, whether that be in the Solomon Islands, whether that be in Australia, whether that be right here in Toowoomba. There is an important role for you to be releasing the kingdom of God. And this, during the week as I was praying into this, the word good news kept coming to me. And so I finished up doing a word search around good news throughout the New Testament and looking at the significance and the importance of the good news. And what's interesting is often the word good news is directly linked to kingdom. We see these two sit so closely together. And this morning I want to unpack the significance of that. Because you see, as we start in the New Testament, we see that when Jesus was commencing his ministry, it was clear that he was releasing the good news of the kingdom of God wherever he went. And in the same way, we are called to release the good news of the kingdom of God in order that we would bring health and healing to our communities. And we see it from the very start of Jesus' ministry. As we look in Matthew chapter 3 and chapter 4, we see that Jesus goes and is baptized by John the Baptist. Then he goes into the wilderness where he experiences a time of temptation. And then in Matthew chapter 4, he comes from that, and it says that he went back to Galilee. That was the place that he grew up. It was the region that he knew very well. And then in Matthew 4, it goes on to explain that having gone back to Galilee, he then drew his disciples to him. He called his first disciples there. And the verse that I'm going to particularly pick up on today leads out of that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, when it says that Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And so we see that Jesus, as a man from Galilee, is now starting his ministry throughout Galilee. He's teaching in their synagogues. Now, synagogues were something that started after the period of exile, when the people of Israel came back into their land. And then in their smaller communities, they established synagogues as places where people would gather on the Sabbath in order to hear the word of God explained to them, in order that they would then learn what it means to live according to God's ways. The synagogue was also a place of local community. It was a place of the judiciary. It was a place where court proceedings took place as well. And so what we see here is that Jesus is going now throughout Galilee and he is teaching in the synagogues. It was a place where he teaches, and we also see in the New Testament there are times where he also ministered healing within the synagogues as well. But we note that he starts in his local community, right where he's at, in a place that he's familiar and knows. We know this because in Luke chapter 4, it says here that he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Nazareth was within the area of Galilee. So he went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. So in other words, Jesus was going to a place that he knew in a tradition or in a way that he was familiar with. Jesus started right where he was at, with the people that he knew. And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." See, Jesus here was quoting from Isaiah 61. And he was saying here that he had come to proclaim the good news. He then said, "This has been fulfilled in your presence." In other words, his ministry present was to proclaim the good news. And he would be the fulfillment of the one who would start that. So we see that Jesus has a really important ministry to teach those who come to the synagogues on the Sabbath. But we see that it wasn't just in the synagogues. It wasn't just in that formal place of learning. Jesus was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. In other words, we see that Jesus was out in the community proclaiming the good news in the kingdom. So we saw in Luke 4 that Jesus said he is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, that he would be the one to bring good news. Now we see in Matthew 4 that Jesus is doing exactly that. He is proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. So what's this good news? What's this good news that Jesus had to proclaim and share? The word good news is often translated in our language today also, or interchanged with the word gospel. The word gospel simply means good news. So we see these two words used interchangeably. And if I ask many of you, what is the gospel? What is the good news? Many people would respond, well, the good news is that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. That is good news. But that is not the good news that Jesus was proclaiming. Why do I say that? Because Jesus did not publicly tell people from the beginning that he was going to die on the cross. At the start of his ministry, he wasn't telling people that. In fact, as we go through the Gospels, we see that he tells his disciples that on three occasions. So it wasn't a major point of conversation, but on three occasions he did tell them, and they still didn't get it. They still didn't believe it until after he had died. And so the gospel that Jesus was proclaiming wasn't that Jesus would die on the cross. So what is the good news? And why is it so important for us today? Well, throughout the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the good news is primarily referred to as the good news of the kingdom. So that, again, there's this link between the gospel or the good news and the kingdom of God. So Jesus came proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. The good news that he was proclaiming was that God would establish his kingdom on earth. And the age of the kingdom had commenced with Jesus arriving, with Jesus commencing his ministry. The age of the kingdom of God had commenced. God would establish his kingdom on earth. That was the good news. So when we think about kingdom, it's not a term that is familiar in our everyday thinking. But for the people back then, they understood the concept of kingdom. And whenever you think of the word kingdom, there are four elements that sit within a kingdom that are required for a kingdom. The first thing is, for a kingdom, you have to have a king. You can't have a kingdom without a king or a monarch. And so here we see that there is a king that is required for a kingdom. A kingdom, as we know, is made up of two words, king and dom. The second word, dom, or second, the suffix dom, is related to the word domain, which is the area over which the king has dominion. It's the territory over which the king has dominion. But a kingdom is not just talking geography. What matters is the people who are in the kingdom. If you like, some people would use the word subjects. The subjects in the kingdom. The people of the kingdom. These are the people who live within the dominion of the kingdom, live within the domain of the kingdom. And they live under the rule of the king. That's the fourth part, the rule. See, every kingdom has laws. Every kingdom has rules that the king puts in place. These are the rules of the kingdom. They're what the people are meant to live by. And so we see the character of the kingdom, or rather the character of the king, plays out through the rules of the kingdom. We see this in the Old Testament, that when the king followed the ways of God, then the people would worship God. They would come to the temple. They would worship God. They would live according to the ways of God. In the book of Kings, we see that they followed the way of their father David. But we also see that there were the kings that did not follow God. That there were kings who worshipped other idols. And when they did that, they changed the rules of the land. They changed the laws of the land. And as a result of that, the people of the land would no longer follow or worship God. You see, the culture of a society is governed by the laws of the government or the laws of the king. And that has resultant spiritual influences. So what we're seeing is that the kingdom of God that was being proclaimed was that the good news that Jesus had come as king to reign and to rule where he'd have dominion. We see that the good news of the kingdom of God is that Jesus had come to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. The kingdom of God, the people were those who chose to follow the king, who chose to put their faith in Jesus as their king. And then when Jesus came, he taught. He taught in the synagogues. He proclaimed the good news of the kingdom. People started to understand what these rules of the kingdom of God actually were, what they looked like. And so we see that Jesus established the rules of the kingdom of God in three ways. We see this again in Matthew 4:23. It says Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. So what we're seeing here was he taught in their synagogues. He taught them about the character of God from the Old Testament. He taught them what it meant to live according to the ways of God. Then we see, secondly, that Jesus was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom wherever he went. In other words, he was engaging in conversations with individuals. So we see that with Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to him and Jesus has a one-on-one conversation with him, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. We see Jesus meets with small groups of people. One example of that would be with his 12 disciples. We see other situations where he meets with small groups of people and he's able to explain to them what the kingdom of God looks like. And we see that Jesus proclaims the kingdom of God to very large groups of people. We see that in the case of the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5, 6 and 7, where Jesus here is explaining to a very large number of people what it means to live according to the kingdom of God. We see this where Jesus has about 5,000 men plus women and children who've come to listen to him. And they are so interested in what he's saying that they start getting hungry and he's got to give them bread and fish to eat. So Jesus is proclaiming the kingdom in small settings and in very, very large settings as well. And then the third thing that Jesus did was that he was demonstrating the present reality of the kingdom of God by healing every disease and sickness among the people. So the kingdom of God was about restoring people back to wholeness, back towards what God had always intended for them. See, Jesus was providing evidence that the good news of the kingdom of God was real. It was tangible. It was powerful. By healing every disease and sickness, Jesus was bringing life and wholeness to people. Jesus was showing that he had authority over the power of sin. He had authority over sickness. He had authority over death. That demonstration of his authority was evidence that the king had arrived. The king of the kingdom was present, and that's good news. And so what we're seeing is that the kingdom of God is being released wherever Jesus went. And so as the king, wherever he went, he was demonstrating his power and authority in that domain, in that place. We see that at the start of his ministry, he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. He's declaring the kingdom of God is near. And as king, he has this small group of people who choose to follow him. They are his disciples. The word disciple means someone who follows their master in order that they learn the ways of the master. They learn how to live like the master. They learn how to do what the master does. And so we see here that Jesus has got this small group of 12 as his disciples who are learning from him, learning his rules, his ways, so they become more like him. And it wasn't long before Jesus enlarges the kingdom of God by sending out these disciples. He sends them out to do what they've been learning from him. They've been blessed. Now it's time to release that blessing to others. And to see in Luke chapter 9, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So they set out and went from village to village proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. So what we now see is Jesus as king is no longer keeping it to himself. He is delegating his authority and sending out those authorized as disciples to go out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. The good news is that the kingdom of God is being revealed to more and more people because they're now covering a much larger area. And you know, it didn't take long for the word of God to get around. We've been looking at Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, where it says that Jesus was teaching in their synagogues. He's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. He's healing every disease and sickness. Now let's look at the impact of that in the very next verses. News about him spread all over Syria. And people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. So what we're now seeing is that the kingdom of God, the domain, is increasing geographically. More and more people are hearing about the king and they are wanting to come to the king that they would experience life and wholeness. But it wasn't just increasing in geography, it was increasing influence politically. So what we're seeing then is that the hierarchy are also hearing about Jesus. To the extent that we see in Luke chapter 4, now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was going on. That verse follows the section where the disciples have gone out in Jesus' name to proclaim the kingdom. So they're out there proclaiming the kingdom. What happens? It increases the geography of the kingdom and increases the level of influence politically across the land. Jesus never intended that the good news of the kingdom of God would be confined to the 12 or even to the 72 disciples that he would send out, because he had a plan for the kingdom of God to be preached to the whole world. And we see this start to play out after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. Because let's fast forward now into the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, chapter 5, we see that day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they, this is the apostles never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. So what's the good news now? We saw earlier that when Jesus started his ministry, he was proclaiming the good news, and that good news of the kingdom was that the king had come, that the kingdom of God was being inaugurated or being released on earth. Now we see that they are proclaiming good news that Jesus is the Messiah. In other words, Jesus was the one who came in the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament. He was the king over the kingdom who was going to bring life, who was going to restore people back to wholeness. That he's the one who would restore people back into relationship with God the Father, because he defeated the power of sin and death. People would now be restored to God the Father. And see, just as Jesus delegated his authority to his disciples so that the proclamation of the kingdom wasn't just confined to him, we see the apostles do the same thing. They don't just keep it to the 12 apostles. They, in fact, start releasing it to others. Now, it wasn't always easy. We know that for Jesus, proclaiming the kingdom actually meant the death of the king, the crucifixion of Christ. And we know too that for others, they also were persecuted. We see that the early disciples were taken and were flogged. We see in Acts chapter 7, 6 and 7, that Stephen is stoned to death for proclaiming the good news. And as a result of his death, there is a great persecution that spread. And then in turn, many disciples spread out to cover a larger region. And so we read this, where it says in Acts chapter 8, those who had been scattered, that's as a result of Stephen's stoning, preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For his shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. We get down to verse 12 and it says, but when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So what we're now seeing is that Philip, who was not one of the 12 apostles, is now going out and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. He's sharing the good news of the Messiah, And as a result of that, many more people are choosing to believe. When people saw the evidence of the kingdom of God here and present, they chose to believe. They saw people's lives being made whole. So what we're seeing is the kingdom of God is being released wherever God's people went. God's people in God's place, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And we see the ramifications of Stephen's death addressed again in Acts chapter 11, when it says from verse 19, "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord." So what we're seeing here is the good news of the kingdom of God continues to spread. Not only is it spreading geographically, it's now spreading out across racial lines as well. It's now spreading out beyond the Jews to also reach the Gentiles. And that's the fulfillment of what Jesus always intended. Because when Jesus was speaking about the good news of the gospel, of the kingdom of God, in Matthew 24, he said this, "And this gospel of the kingdom," gospel, remember, means good news, "the good news of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." That's good news, isn't it? This is the good news. See, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have the good news of the kingdom of God. We have that good news. The good news is the King of the kingdom of God has come, and he has taught us. He has taught us through his teachings. He has taught us through the way he lived his life. His sacrificial life that ultimately led to death on the cross. The good news is that if we will submit to Jesus as King, if we will turn from our lives of sin and submit to Jesus as King, God forgives us our sins and welcomes us into the kingdom. We become the people of the kingdom. That's the good news of the kingdom of God. The good news is that if a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour, they are changed for eternity. Their life changes from that moment here on earth. It changes the way they start to live their life. And it changes their eternal destiny of where they will spend their eternity. That's the good news of the kingdom of God. And we, as the people of the kingdom of God, have the responsibility to continue to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. That's the onus is on us. To live as a people who will worship Jesus as King. How do we do this? We do this by living according to the ways of Jesus. We do this by loving God. We do this by loving one another. We do this by loving those in need. Love our neighbour as ourselves. Those in our community in need. We do this by continuing to provide evidence that the kingdom of God is here now. Not yet in its fullness, but it's here. And the evidence of that is when you see people's lives being made whole, being restored back in health and wellness. We see that when we see people's lives improving, being healed emotionally, physically, spiritually. And this morning, I just shared with you during communion about one healing that took place here last Saturday. There were others. But over these last weeks here in Rangeville, we've seen a number of examples of where babies have been healed, where others have experienced healing as well. Incredible stories of the goodness of God releasing healing. The kingdom of God is present. And we get to proclaim that. We get to share that. And I believe that in the same way as we've seen some healings, we're going to see more. We're going to see more as we just step further into what God is showing us and how we're meant to respond to that. See, as the people of the kingdom of God, we have the responsibility to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God and what the King has done. We are called, according to what we've seen in Matthew 4:23, that to be like Jesus. Jesus was in Galilee. That was the region of his home. That's where he'd grown up. That's where God had placed him early in his life. You have a responsibility right where you are, in the place that you are in, that you too might have a teaching role. In other words, that you too might be discipling someone to help them grow in the ways of Jesus, to understand his word and apply it in their lives. We have a responsibility to be teaching in that way. We have a responsibility to proclaim the good news of the kingdom in the everyday of life, whether it be one-on-one, whether it be with a small group, or whether you have the opportunity with a larger group, to be able to share the good news of the kingdom of God with those around about you, that they too might experience that, hear about that, and choose to put their faith in the King. All of us have a responsibility to walk with people, to pray with people or pray for people that they too might experience healing. That may be emotional, that might be a mental health issue, that might be a physical health issue, that might be a spiritual issue. But God is wanting to see people healed and restored and made whole. That's evidence of the kingdom of God being released here on earth. And so I want to leave you with three questions to consider. Who are you teaching? Who are you discipling at the moment to help them grow? Second question, are you proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and to whom? What opportunities are you looking for or taking to share the good news of the kingdom of God to those around about you? The third question is, are you taking the opportunity to pray with people or for people for their lives to be healed, physically, emotionally, spiritually? What's it look like for you to take those steps of faith to step out and pray? See, these were the practices of Jesus. This is what he taught his disciples to do, and he sent them out. This is what the apostles did. This is what the early church did as they were scattered. And as they went out, they released the kingdom of God. And if you're struggling with answering those questions about who are you teaching or discipling, in what situations are you proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, in what situations are you healing, then what I'd ask you to do is to pray and say, God, would you please show me who you want me to disciple? Would you show me, give me an alertness, an awareness of opportunities to proclaim the goodness of God? God, would you please show me who to pray for or situations where I can or should pray to see people's lives changed? That you too would be proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Right where you are. Let's take a minute and just stop and listen to what God's got to say. Father God, we we see that Jesus went out proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And we've seen the incredible benefits, incredible goodness, incredible life change that comes by being part of the kingdom of God and seeing a kingdom manifest into a community where lives are being healed and made whole, where sin is being addressed, where evil is being removed. Father God, we yearn for the kingdom of God here in this community, in this nation, and in nations. And Lord, we know that we have a responsibility to be people who are releasing the kingdom of God, to be people who would teach, people who will proclaim, people who release healing. So Lord, it's our prayer this morning that you would, through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, fill us, guide us, and empower us so that we would be the people of God right where you've placed us, that we'd live according to the rules and the ways of the kingdom, that we would be a blessing in this community and in every place that is represented by every person here. I pray blessing over each and every one who's gathered here and those who are live streaming or watching this later. I ask, Lord, you'd release beautiful blessings over each one as they reflect on these questions of who it is that they're called to disciple, how it is that they can proclaim the kingdom of God where they're at, and what it means to release healing into people's lives. Holy Spirit, come and minister to each of us as individuals, minister to us together corporately as a church, that we will be that kingdom-minded church, being the people you've called us to be. For your glory, for your honour, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would like prayer, particularly if you'd like prayer in relation to kingdom, if you'd like prayer in terms of one of those three issues, then love to pray with you here this morning, and there'll be a prayer team up the front as well. So please consider just coming forward and saying, that's for me, I want that. I want to learn what it means to step and live that kingdom way. So there is going to be people at the front who'd love to pray with you as well, so please come. During school holidays, the children don't come out for prayer to pray for people for physical healing, but this team here can do that as well. And so please come and have them pray for you. Tea and coffee is available in the foyer, so please, we look forward to sharing that. And next Sunday is Mission Sunday, and we've got an invited speaker, Kevin Keegan from Far East Broadcasting Company, who's going to be sharing with us, and we look forward to hearing the message he has as well. So thank you, everyone. Have a fantastic week. God bless.